Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Champagne Sundays with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigGlenMagazine.com.
Somebody hit that over my head. It is January 16th, 2022. Yes, we're all still here. We're going for it.
Yay.
Welcome. Today is our third Champagne Sunday show airing live from the ceramic artist Andrea Faye studio in Peachtree City, Georgia. We're outside Atlanta, south of Atlanta, and guess what? It is snowing. As soon as that champagne bottle cork popped out of the bottle, it started snowing, right, Nancy?
I know.
Snowing champagne right now.
It was like, whoa, look at that.
It's not. It's kind of sticking, but it's not going to be a big deal. But it is beautiful. They gave us all kinds of weather warnings, but honestly, we're cozy. We've got two beautiful cats, Gotham and Joker, and snow, and we have champagne, and we have some amazing guests joining us on one of our special anniversary parties. You know, a lot of you know us. We travel full-time across the country on our Love Your Parks tour, documenting parks and public lands, sharing stories of the country and the communities. And we are also, we're celebrating 10 years of that. We started our Love Your Parks tour 10 years ago, January 2012. Kind of unofficially made the decision then and went on, started documenting parks and then full-time the year later. It is also 15 years of broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio and Big Blend Radio. So that's, we're feeling so young. And then we're really feeling young because this year marks 25 years of Big Blend magazines. Started as a magazine way back when in South Africa. Nancy had that, but then we had to come home. We came home and started up again and started in North San Diego as a small print publication that kind of went crazy and wild, turned into Southwest Blend, and then we went, that's it, we're Big Blend babies, watch out, we can do anything we want.
We can do anything we want.
And so that's what we're doing. We're celebrating, and a lot of you know we have a lot of our interviews really through Zoom, and we do a lot of video and all of that, but we want to go back to our roots this year. So this is one of many live shows we'll be doing because we want to party. We want to bring old and new friends on the show, and today we're bringing a lot of friends that have been on the show from before. We've got pop rock singer, songwriter Nikki Chris up in Raleigh, North Carolina. She's back on the show. She rocks. She really does. She's got an amazing voice. Retired organic farmer and innkeeper Andrea Peterson, who has known us since pretty much the beginning of the days when we were in print. And she was based out of Southern California in a community, farming community known as Fallbrook. They're known for avocados, now coffee as well, macadamia nuts. She was awesome in regards to growing all kinds of lettuce and beautiful tomatoes and strawberries and beautiful inn. She's now retired up in Sun River, Oregon, which we got to see her last year. But she's calling in, and she's put up with us. Like, I mean that, right, Nancy?
She is probably one of, if not the strongest woman we know. She is one definitely strong woman. Don't mess with her, man.
Don't mess with Andrea. And if you don't know what you're doing,
don't mess with
her. She's very sweet and puts up with all our calls going, we saw this bird today. It's got feathers. It's really pretty. What is it? So she's awesome. So excited to have her on the show. We also have singer-songwriter Lisa Snyderman. She's known as ADU. She'll tell you about that. And she has really done so much work of getting musicians and performing artists together who have disabilities and making things still move forward and working forward. She is an awesome inspiration, an amazing songwriter and singer.
Hats off to
and
her.
So have her back on the show. She's got some great announcements. We're going to play everyone's music, too. We also have vocalist and songwriter Josh Pfeiffer. He's out of Sacramento, back on the show. I was looking back. I think he's been on the show for about, I'm going to say,
10 years?
6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, maybe?
Maybe about 10 years.
We're getting there. I mean, everyone's been on for a while. And then we've got Steve Schneikert, Hollywood historian of our shows. He's back on. He's our party boy, and he's our party boy because we have all kinds of parties with him all the time. Well, virtually, But we did get to meet him last year, finally in person, and his sweet pup, Bella. By the way, everyone, we're talking animals today, too. Dogs, cats, you know, squirrels for Andrea. We got to meet with him, and we're going to be airing some of his Hollywood history on the show today. But he is the person who takes our phone call and text every time we land somewhere so he knows we're safe. So when I say he's our party buddy, he's also our buddy to make sure we arrive where we do. And if we don't arrive there, I don't know what's going to happen. But at least he knows. We have this backup of someone knows where we're going. So I think we better get the bus started. So the party bus, we're going to get on the bus and pick up everybody and get the party started with some drinks, some food. Priscilla, our pink sock monkey, is driving the bus, cooking and serving and pouring.
And she's drinking,
She has to earn her way on this tour. So I think since we are in Peachtree City, Georgia, we're going to head up to North Carolina, to Raleigh, to pick up Nikki first. Are you ready, Nancy?
I'm ready. Of course.
Well, good. Stay tuned.
Jeez.
So everyone, Nikki Chris is our first guest hopping on the bus, and she's out near Raleigh, North Carolina, and apparently we're getting snow, and she's just toasty warm, and it's all sunshine there, right, Nikki?
I know.
Welcome back. Welcome back.
Yeah, no, not at all. Not at all. It is actually ice storming here, so I'd rather have the snow.
I would too. Is it okay to drink champagne during a snow or ice storm? I mean,
sure.
You know.
Absolutely. I'm not going out anywhere.
Yeah,
heck
really.
No. Heck
the best
no.
Time.
Everybody, go to NikkiChris.com, and that's K-R-I-S, NikkiChris.com. Been on our show for years. In fact, we're going to play one of your songs for road trip music as we go across the country, because we're going to go from ice and snow to more ice and snow. So we need some good music. But Nikki, Priscilla, which we hoped we were going to meet you last year, but hopefully this year, I mean, we tried. We were going from a farm, you know, people, we pet sit as we travel the country. Turned out to be one of the best decisions we've ever made, but we did try. But we will be in North Carolina again this year in summer and through the fall. And I think by the sound of it, we'll leave in winter. But we've got to meet up and have our park party with you this year. We must make it happen. But and you need to meet Priscilla in person. But right now, while you're on the Big Blend virtual party bus, she would like to serve you what you would like to eat and drink for champagne brunch. What would you like?
So I would like, because I never actually have them, because there's too many carbs, but I'm gonna break that that thought process today. Chocolate chip gluten-free pancakes.
Ooh, yum.
Ooh. So now you're doing the carb thing even though you have to watch the gluten thing. Wow.
Well, yeah, they kind of go hand in hand, but, you know.
But it's,
you
know, it's special.
But it's chocolate. Chocolate in pancakes sounds
really
good.
Well, chocolate,
Chocolate's good on everything, even salads.
Yeah, I agree. No, I don't know how. No, I don't know about lettuce and chocolate, Nancy.
Yeah,
she wants
I
to do anything to hide her vegetables.
Chocolate.
I'm going to try it tonight.
Well, dark chocolate. Dark chocolate?
Shredded chocolate on a salad. Come on.
I have
dark chocolate.
I've heard that chocolate and potato chips is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Ooh, that sounds awesome.
Chocolate and salt.
Haven't had any, but.
Well, there. Okay, so would you like, I'm just thinking Grand Marnier now. That's stuck in my head.
Yeah.
I want dark chocolate and Grand Marnier. On whatever it wants to go on. What would you like to drink?
I would like a screwdriver.
Oh.
See, she's busted out of the martini mold. I remember you doing martinis. Like, that was your thing. Yeah, but it's early for martinis. Just a little.
It is early for martinis. So we'll go with vodka and orange juice. So gluten-free vodka,
it's
of course.
Still vodka
Cheetos
still
is
in
my
there.
Favorite. Yes, it's
and
still
she's
vodka.
Got her vitamin
Actually,
C.
Just to keep the cold away and the germs away. So, yeah, that sounds awesome.
Cool.
Awesome. Oh, I like this. I like this. Mm. So right now, I just want to say that you've got your own podcast going on, too. You've got your own radio show, Sim Radio Network, right? Mixing It with Nikki Chris.
Yes. Mixing It with Nikki Chris, and we also have Chatting with Nat. So we are currently running two podcasts, and then we also do, like, the Instagram live events and things like that off of our Sisters in Music Instagram account. So, yeah, so I'm just like you guys, doing my own little hosting.
Awesome.
Yay. But you look like you're doing a lot for women in music.
Yeah, I love that.
Yes. So Sisters in Music is an organization that is all about creating a sisterhood. We do primarily focus on empowering, educating, and working with other women in the music and entertainment industry. But we love our guys, too. So we definitely enjoy having our brothers in arms, if you will, come on our shows or help cross promote other women in the music business. It is primarily focused on independence because we all need to stick together as independent artists. But yeah, we've been
absolutely
about a year now, and we've been doing great. So it's
cool.
A lot of fun, a lot of work, but a lot of positivity coming out of it.
Love that.
I love that.
Awesome.
That is cool.
Yeah.
So, Nikki, are you ready to get on the bus again now that you've got your drinks and you've got your chocolate pancakes and, you know, you've got vodka. You're good. And so but since we're way up in North Carolina, we're going to stay up in that quadrant and go west through the ice and snow to Sun River, Oregon. Are you ready for this trip? Because apparently we need snow tires. Yeah, we got snow tires, and we've got all kinds of superpowers, and one of the superpowers is music. So we're going to listen to Beautiful from your album, I Come Alive, which was when you, I think you first came on our show back in 2013, I believe.
That is absolutely correct. Yep, I actually was just thinking the other day that I needed to do an anniversary edition, so that may come into fruition. But yeah, that was around the first time I was on your show.
I love that. Nickyology. Yes.
Yeah, ooh, I like that.
You got to have a Nickyology. I dig this. So everyone, take a listen to Beautiful. We're going to cross the country, so we always need good music to travel and do all that driving, and Priscilla needs it. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this beautiful song that does take you to the mountains, and it's beautiful. Take a listen. Thank you. Again, you're listening to Big Blend Radio, Champagne Sundays Anniversary Party, and that was Nikki Chris and her song Beautiful from her 2013 album, I Come Alive. Damn it, Nikki.
Wow.
I mean, just being, I've been listening to it, you know, and it's like, wow, and then hearing her on the show again today, and I'm like, that is some powerful stuff, girl.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. So that actually was also the first song that I ever had placed on television, believe it or not. That one has a very sentimental meaning for me. So thank you for playing it.
Well, it's beautiful. And it got us through the ice and the snow. We went along the Oregon Trail to get to Oregon. And so, you know, people died on that trail. So I'm glad we made it through. We got all the way there, so I'm very excited. We get to welcome Andrea Peterson, who's a retired organic farmer. She is an amazing, amazing woman and also a retired innkeeper. She had an inn at her farm in Fallbrook years ago, and well, not that long ago, but we've known her for a gazillion years. And
from
welcome
the beginning.
To the welcome back, Andrea. How are you?
I'm fine, and Nikki, that was absolutely beautiful.
Oh, thank you so much.
Andrea, do you remember when we were at the inn doing radio shows with cords strung through? Do you remember doing it in the kitchen with cords going
all over? That,
And then you come in, and then, you know, the farm help would come in with strawberries during a show, and we were like, look at those strawberries, but there's strawberries. You know, it is so different. You're in Sun River, Oregon, and we were so, like, lucky to see you and this year and go out hiking. You took us to the Obsidian Trail.
Awesome.
You live in a beautiful area. It's like night and day for you.
Yeah, I remember that day. It had been a long time since there had been snow, but that day, all day long, little snowflakes kept filtering down on us all day.
It was beautiful, and we still walked through it.
Yeah.
We hiked. We went through the volcano, like through the lava, and there were flowers and tent caterpillars on plants. I know that sounds crazy, but it was beautiful.
Cool. They have
it was beautiful.
Start early, you know. There's
our
growing season here is 45 days. If you want to do anything,
see,
you have
she's
to
still
jump
a
on.
Farmer. No matter what, she's still a farmer.
Yes.
Well. The squirrels and I.
Yeah, but the squirrels, when you had a farm and you didn't get along, and apparently now you get along?
Well, they were different squirrels, and they were ground squirrels, and they were quite destructive.
Yeah,
and we did have to go after them.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, we were organic and did not poison them, but we did have to go after them.
Yeah.
But
you did let nature take its course on your property, and you had birds, you had hawks, you had,
it was amazing.
I mean, everything going on at that property. If you just sat down, you would see the world be alive because you were organic. And I think you were beyond organic. You were, you know, there's the book organic, and then there's the truly being part of nature organic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember at
night. Yeah, and I had, you know, I had workers that really appreciated that and were glad to be working on a farm that they knew wasn't gonna, you know, screw them over,
poison.
Yeah, beautiful.
That's true.
So tell us, what does it look like in Sun River today? I mean, we're talking about snow and ice.
It's beautiful out. It's bright sun, and I think it's above freezing right now. And we still have about 2 feet of snow on the ground from the last snow, but the roads are clean and dry, and we have another week of above freezing temperatures for Mother Nature to melt some of the snow on the ground before we're supposed to get a considerable amount of snow next week, I mean a week from now. You know, in February is supposed to be the big snow time, and I've seen 5 feet, you know. And I still have a whole lot of snow on my deck, and which has turned to ice, so it's sort of like the Mendenhall Glacier. It'll probably be there until July.
Oh my gosh.
Andrea, what would you like to eat and drink?
Well, you know what? I would like to eat, since brunch you can eat anything, I would love to eat chicken mole from Oaxaca.
God, yes.
And I would love to have, you know, rice with that and mangoes with that. Yeah, that would be, you know, it's, I miss some of that.
I remember remember me being vegan, and you made, at that point in my life, and I'm still almost there. And Josh is coming on. He can talk about that. But you used to make sweet potatoes and rice, the Cuban black beans and sweet potatoes and rice dish.
Oh, yeah.
My God, so good. But go ahead.
I would like Pinot Noir wine.
Okay.
I had a lady that came on the farm that stayed with me a couple of times on the farm. She was really old, and she looked like she weighed about 70 pounds, and she didn't eat anything cooked, or she certainly didn't eat any meat. And she really wanted to sunbathe up on the deck in the nude, so, you know, I said, well, you know, the workers might get kind of scared. I'd be surprised.
This is
so
funny.
I fixed up. You know, I draped sheets over the rails, and I think that she had some kind of condition, and she was trying to work her way out of it and doing the best she could, but she just wanted produce, and so and she wouldn't let me. She insisted on paying me. You know, I did very little for her, because I wasn't cooking for her, and I would send her off with boxes and flats of, you know, strawberries and raspberries and stuff like that, so that, because that's what she ate. And she came,
you know, I was surprised to see her turning up the next year. But that's what she wanted. You know, she wanted to sunbathe and eat raw fruits and vegetables.
Hey,
we catered to all tastes.
Doesn't sound that bad, really.
Out in the sun?
Yeah.
But you know what? That's about, you know, boosting your immune system to have some sunshine and some vitamin D. As soon as COVID hit, Nancy and I were just like, let's go outside in the sunshine.
We
did drink wine. Sorry, that didn't help. But we were happy. And I think that boosts your hormones and happiness factor of joy. But to eat as fresh and organic, there's something beautiful about that.
I think she probably knew what suited her the best. And, you know, she looked like she was on the downhill slide. I mean, that happens when you're 80 or 90 years old. You know?
Well, and she's naked on your deck. So, you know, funny. I mean, innkeeper story, we should go ahead.
Yes. Remember the time that I had two other guests there when you were there, and they both had deep roots in Africa?
Mm-hmm. See, that's
Do you remember
amazing.
That?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We had so many interesting times.
You did. We're going to get back on the bus, and we're going to go chat with Aidy, or Lisa Snyderman's her name, but Aidy is who she is known for, and she's known for both names. And we are going to play her track, Tell Me What to Eat, because that's what Priscilla wants to do, so she can feed her. And this is interesting. So, Nikki, we've got you gluten-free, but you found your chocolate pancakes, right? And Andrea can make good pancakes, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Did Priscilla do okay? Just checking. Did she do a good job? She probably makes the cocktails better than the food.
Yes.
Good, Priscilla.
Good.
All right.
She's
so
very
get back
talented.
On the bus. She is. We're going to get back on the bus. We're going to go to the Bay Area to catch up with Lisa Snyderman. So take a listen. Here it is. Tell Me What to Eat. This is from The Grieving Project, and this is a multimedia book, story, video, music. I mean, it's amazing what she does. And she's got some great news coming out about the recording artists and music professionals with disabilities. This is something that's done through the Grammy Museum. And then we're going to catch up with Josh Pfeiffer. We're also going to catch up with Steve Schneikert. So stay tuned. The bus is going slow, but we're getting there. Hang tight. We're going to get out of the ice and into some sunshine, hopefully. So Tell Me What to Eat.
16. Rejuvenate. So I think I'm paleo, but with rice and potatoes and red wine and chocolate.
There's paleo and keto, anti-inflammatory AIP, Mediterranean, vegetarian, Candida Whole30, gluten-free. And some say eat more fat, and some say eat more meat. So how come it's impossible to know just what to eat?
If I want to cut out carbs, keto is a fit for me. If I want to heal my gut, I should sure try AIP. But if I can't eat cheese or wheat, maybe paleo's the key.
So why is it so friggin' hard to find something to eat? Too many choices. Too many decisions. Everywhere I look, there's another book, another scheme.
Another scheme.
Too many choices. Too many selections.
Can't somebody just tell me what to eat?
Avoid sugar, avoid alcohol, corn syrup, and caffeine. Avoid grains, legumes, dairy, GMOs, nightshades. Avoid processed foods, additives, trans fats, corn, and soy. And eggs and nuts and seeds. And after that, what's left to eat?
Vegetables. Eat lots of vegetables. Eat the rainbow.
How much is too much fruit?
What if I can't stand fish?
So is there a diet just for people with MS?
According to this, I'm a lacto-ovo-vegetarian. Maybe I should go vegan.
So what do they call someone who is gluten, dairy, sugar, meat-free, but eats fish?
Time maintenance. Too many choices. Too many decisions. Everywhere I look, there's another book, another scheme.
Another scheme! Can't somebody just tell me what
legumes and fruits and nuts and seeds and eggs and fish and grains can eat them all if I recall if I go Mediterranean. But oh, good God, this really hurts my brain.
Oh, here's yet another way, another diet, another craze, completely contradicting what the last one does convey.
And now bad fats are out.
and good fats are so in. But how much coconut and avocado can you really binge?
Too many choices, too many decisions. Everywhere I look, there's another book, another scheme.
Another scheme.
Too many choices, too many selections. Why can't it be easy to get what my body needs? Too many choices, too many decisions. Can't somebody just tell me what to eat?
Everybody, that was Lisa Snyderman, also known as Aity, and that was tell me what to eat. It's so perfect about even the conversation we've been having. You can keep up with Lisa. Go to thegrievingproject.com. That's really where this is all part of that song. You can also go to aitymuse.com. That's AOEDEmuse.com to keep up with her music. She is an awesome inspiration, and she's a badass for musicians with disabilities and making the disability into ability, right? I'm going to just, is that the right way to say it? I mean, because there's all different ways, but Lisa, welcome back. How are you?
Thank you. It's great to be here. It's so much fun to be on the bus and to be part of the conversation. And I'm so glad you played that song. Thank you.
That's so funny. Is that not perfect or what? I mean, we've got Andrea here. She had the produce for years. We've got Nikki here who's gluten-free and busting out with chocolate and carbs. But I'm just going to ask you right away, what would you like on the bus? What would you want for brunch right now? What are you able and allowed to eat?
Exactly. I'm like living with chronic illness. I also have, that's why I wrote that song, to be honest, is the overwhelm of the diet restrictions, especially for people living with chronic illness. So today I would like a crepe. I want something that's like a gluten-free flour crepe that's got strawberries and blueberries and raspberries. And because I don't have refined sugars and cow dairy, I would do coconut. So coconut whipped cream, you know, coconut milk whipped cream, coconut flakes, maybe some toasted almonds, and definitely some dark chocolate drizzled on it. It's got, you know, low sugar in that. So I'm going, you know, more sweet today than savory.
Awesome. Now, what would you like to drink with that?
And I also, everybody else is like so indulgent in the alcohol, and I can't and haven't been. So even on my fantasy trip, I'm still going to stay away from it because that's, it's so funny. It's like so ingrained in me. It's like, nope, I can't even have it on my fantasy. I'll have Clip Mint Rooibos tea. That's what I want.
Ooh,
so I want something
that sounds good.
Yeah. And if you haven't tried it, by the way, it is one of my go-tos. I actually like the flavors together. It's, you know, red tea, rooibos, but the chocolate mint just adds this loveliness, and it's caffeine-free, so I actually really enjoy it.
You know, South Africa,
really
good. Rooibos tea is a really good oxidant. Mm. It's really good antioxidant or whatever you want. It's really good for your body. And Nancy, remember the chocolate basil, chocolate mint basil we used to grow in the desert, the high desert? We used to grow it and put it in tea. And mint tea is what helped me stop smoking cigarettes many moons ago. And I did until I got into a band, and then I started smoking. And then, like, I don't know, Andrea, if you remember those days. I don't know. I think I'd quit by then. I don't know.
I think I remember more than you do.
Oh, no. But, Andrea, I didn't smoke when we met you. I think I'd gotten over it by then.
No,
I
don't remember you. I
no,
don't remember
didn't.
You ever smoking.
No.
No.
You were done by that time.
Actually, it wasn't. We were living in the mountains, and I wouldn't see anybody that I played music with, or because it's just, you know, any kind of, you know, anything they wanted to smoke or drink is around. And so that was a no-no, and I just stayed away from everyone for, I think it was like 2 to 3 weeks, and drank peppermint tea, and I was fine after that. And I've never smoked again. So it's just kind of a, I don't know what it is about the peppermint in there, but it can't have full-on peppermint all the time. You'll go, that's not good for you. But there is something about that gives you this little boost of something that
it's called,
I don't know,
peppermint.
What it is.
It gives you a little pep.
It's a ting. It's a ting. It's a ting.
A ding ding.
It's just what, before we move on the bus, we're going to go pick up Steve Schneikert, who loves your song, by the way. He's messaging me. She mentioned MS in there, you know, because he's also has to be, you know, choosy of what he eats and drinks. There's something you are involved with. It's the recording artists and music professionals with disabilities. So this is something Friday, January 21st, 5 p.m. Eastern time, so 2 p.m. Pacific. There's a launching broadcast with this. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I'm honored to be a founding professional member of a newly launching coalition. And as you mentioned, it's recording artists and music professionals with disabilities. And the mission is to advocate for accessibility, amplify disability culture, and to promote inclusion in the music industry, which is kind of like the first to ever do this. So that's exciting. And the actual launch is going to have some virtual performances and celebrity cameos and giveaways. And it's going to highlight a lot of the accomplishments that RAMP's already achieved pre-launch. And it's going to celebrate a lot of the talent. And I'm also one of the featured artists. So it's an exciting, you know, time to be part. And what I love about it is specifically for my own mission, I also look at what I do. I'm a folk pop artist. I'm a playwright. I'm an author. I'm a filmmaker. And I also consider myself a disability advocate, like a disability artist advocate. Mm-hmm. And I try to use my music and art to elevate the voices of other disabled artists, especially. And I do that, you know, in the project I was just mentioning, you were mentioning the grieving project, right? I had disabled actors as my voiceover characters. I specifically wanted people who had experience with chronic illness and disabilities to voice them. And in, you know, I'm actually adapting this to a musical. I've been doing that for the last year. And that project, when it comes to fruition, my intention is to cast, you know, actors with disabilities to play these lead roles, and then also make it accessible to the chronic illness community online, because most of that community doesn't have the ability to go to live theater. So, you know, a lot of what I'm doing is sort of being a voice for that, and RAMP just seemed like a really good fit to be able to, you know, do something that also helps to elevate people with disabilities. I mean, a lot of times we're looking at transcending our disability, which I still agree with. You know, I don't want to have people look at me and say, they see my disability before they see me as a person or an artist. Mm. But at the same time, disability can be a culture. There's a beauty about the differences and the variety, just like our race and our genders and our, you know, ethnicities bring to our character. It's one of those things that we can elevate. So that's enough about RAMP. Yeah.
No,
I love that.
She's ramped
awesome.
It up, man. No,
she
that's
did.
It. And everyone, RAMPD, so rampd.org, go there. But you also have a solo Arts Heal feature that's coming out January 26th. And that is ncan.org /solo-arts-heal. And this, you can find that on the grievingproject.com, right, with what you're doing there.
I believe, yeah, most of what I'm doing, you can find, just go to thegrievingproject.com. It's been a really interesting year for the Grieving Project. I just want to say that before we move on the bus, because the other thing that I had the ability and impact, I guess it gave, you know, felt very impactful, was I received a grant to donate the CD of the Grieving Project to art, music therapy, child life, and mental health programs across the United States hospitals and institutions. And then I also created workshops in order to use expressive arts and the Grieving Project to help others with chronic illness, you know, use creativity to grieve. So it's been like a crazy year of, even though I've been homebound, I feel like at least I've been able to still feel fulfillment and feel like I'm helping others while I'm at home.
That's awesome. It's awesome. And I think you've got an audience that are more homebound now too that may also understand. And it's these, you know, we talk about, you've been on our shows for years on this, and, you know, a lot of musicians and artists with disabilities have been on our shows, and we've just done a lot on it. And it's talking about what an invisible disease is, where people don't realize when someone is suffering and what they're going through. You can look like a bill of health and nobody knows what you're going through. And at the same time, being someone who's in the arts, you're inspiring the world with what you do. Music heals. Music does so much for us. And I think it's just amazing that you keep pushing forward through everything that you are going through. You're still moving forward. And I think it's the only way, actually, through anything that is a trial, is to keep moving forward. Otherwise, it does really suck, right? You don't have the personality to sit back. You are not a sit-back personality. And if you did sit back, that would be that would suck. That would really suck.
Well, I think the irony, Lisa, is that all of this time that I've been so busy creating, I mean, the genesis of the grieving project, which you didn't mention, is the fact that I spent all these years staying so busy that I realized I had forgotten to grieve. So honestly, that is, I'm kind of laughing because that's the irony of it all, is that I don't want to spend my days and hours with all that and energy on things that are difficult and hard, right? Most of us don't. We want to, like, you know, spend our time on the beautiful things and the things that bring us joy. But by not grieving, I feel like there is a lot that is missed. You know what I mean? It's almost like to experience the highest of highs, you need to have the lows. I'll stop there.
You got to get past it. Because if you don't address it, it's like you're hiding from it. So grieving, to me, the grieving process is it's in your face and you handle it. And if you aren't ready to grieve, then the time will come when you know, okay, it's time. You're not going to get out of it.
I think all of us going through, like, the cycle of the pandemic, too, there's a lot of grief nationwide that we're all experiencing. And so for me, you know, having a project like this, it speaks to people with chronic illness, but it speaks to anybody who's ever had loss and has to deal with just, like, sitting with it and letting whatever comes up come up. That's what that's my intention for people listening.
Awesome. You rock. Awesome. So the grievingproject.com, and that is the website to go to, and also aadmuse.com. And now we're going to move just a few steps on the bus. We're going to go over a little bit of terrain, not too far, to Steve Schneikert. So hang tight. We're going to San Jose. And you know what? We do know the way. I feel like we're meeting royalty. That is amazing. Mm-hmm. We're meeting Steve Schneikert, Hollywood historian, performer, actor, voiceover artist, anything to do with the performing arts, singer, vocalist. That is who Steve Schneikert is. And you've heard him with his Hollywood history segments on our shows. You've heard him on our shows before, also talking about, just connecting back to Lisa, talking about multiple sclerosis and his journey with that and kicking its butt and surviving, but really thriving. And that's what Steve Schneikert is about. He's about thriving and having a good giggle, and that's what we do a lot with him. So welcome back, Giggle Man. How are you, Steve?
Couldn't resist the giggle.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm doing well. Thank you.
How
kind of you for those words. How kind.
Always our pleasure to have you on the show. And thank you. You're sweet for taking all of our text messages and calls saying, okay, we've landed here. We're in the rest area in Illinois and it's snowing on us. This is what's going on. So, you know, you've watched over us for many years and been part of our shows for many years. So welcome back and thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
You've got to have resonated with everything that Lisa was talking about in regards to being a performer with a disability, but really,
that was wonderful. That was such a wonderful song, Lisa. Very nice.
Oh, thank you.
And when I heard MS, I loved it even more.
Thank you.
Yeah, because I think there's so many people dealing with autoimmune, you know, issues now that we don't even see, and they don't even know they have it if they have it. You know, it's like, what's going on? And I don't know.
Sometimes it's very hard when you don't appear to be ill. Like, I know my dad had pulmonary fibrosis, and when they finally gave him a wheelchair, which he actually didn't need, he was excited because then when he went to the market and such, people would understand that he actually was ill. So we were slower about things when he was, because he never looked ill. And and people kind of, you know, why are you paying on, like, the disability and all that stuff came into play, and WIC and all these things, programs he was on. And people looked at him like he was not honest because he didn't look sick.
Right. I don't look sick.
Yeah, exactly.
With my MS, I don't look sick.
So people don't get it when you say, well, I have this. They give you a different kind of look than if you are obviously ill or disabled in some manner.
You got it.
And it's really, really difficult. I know he just had a hard, hard time with it. So he finally got a wheelchair even though he didn't need it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was that bad how people would not recognize or understand a disability that they maybe didn't hear of or were too visual in our estimation of people, maybe.
Yeah, it's only visible for me now because of my bad knees. You know, with the crutches and how my knees turn in when I walk. So.
Lisa does that all the time when she has to go potty.
Yeah. Or I've had too much wine, you know. But Steve, Priscilla's swinging from the bus, and she's so excited to see you again. And she did get to meet you this year. I mean, last year.
What I wanted to say, too, is, you know, happy anniversary to you, Lisa, you, Nancy, and
Thank you,
Priscilla.
Yes. We
my
can't
little
leave her
sweetheart.
Out. She's such a little foxy monkey. She is. She is a foxy, sassy little thing.
That's
what my language is talking about her, but but she's been doing good. She's been serving everyone food. I mean, we've had like Mexican food, chicken mole. She's been doing pancakes and crepes. And I mean, what would you like? What would you like her to serve you today?
Oh, do you know what I would like? I would like a veggie scramble with two veggie sausages.
You want sausage. Everybody stay tuned for our Sausage Festival show coming at the beginning of October. First Sunday in October. Just stay tuned. Just saying.
It's
good,
going to be
good promo
big
plug there, Steve. Sausage Day.
Thank you.
It's Sausage
you got it.
Day. So what would you like
sausage
to drink?
Sausage Day. Actually, I would like some Perrier with lime.
Perrier with wine. Ooh. Like you'd spritz it together? Like a
lime.
Lime is on the tip of your glass, and you kind of squeeze in some of the lime juice into your Perrier.
Because I've never heard of Perrier in wine.
I know,
like,
Lisa's going right to wine. I'm like, no, you
I'm like
lime.
No, don't dilute it. No, don't do it. But the lime is good. The lime is good. Oh, that's good.
You put
the
lime
in
with the
Perrier.
Coconut and
shake
it
all down. And cold dark.
And possibly an English muffin with that meat.
Ooh, Nancy knows how to fling those. She's a muffin flinger.
Like Betty White.
Yes, she is. All right. We are going south. Are you ready? We're going so far south from San Jose to Sacramento. Josh Pfeiffer has been sitting on the line waiting for this. He's the longest waiting guest to date to get on the show. But, no, honestly, we wanted to play the song and play road trip music. We're on the bus, and this is the way it is. And we had to go all the way across the country through ice and snow. We went through traffic in San Jose. I'm just saying, Silicon Valley, your traffic. I'm just saying. So it took us a little longer, and we're going to now go to the capital city of California and probably pass through somebody protesting something to get to Josh Pfeiffer and his big dog, which, you know, I want to meet.
Hello.
He's got the biggest, beautiful dog. Seriously,
cool.
We got to talk about his dog. But we're going to play one of the first songs. This is from the very first time he came on the show, California Days. We've played
this song
so many times. It is the best song, California. This was out in 2010. So this is going 12 years now. Yeah, 12 years. And you can go to joshpfeiffer.com to keep up with him, Instagram, Twitter, all of that, Facebook. And here it is. Let's go. We're going to play California Days, so stay tuned, and we'll pick him up.
California California days, where the sunshine smiles on every face, where the ocean breezes blow and the swaying palm trees grow. I love California days. Take a drive on down the coast, find the things you love the most, from the Golden Gate to La Jolla Bay. Everybody knows it's true, so there's nothing you can do but pack your bag and head on down this way. California days.
Go to joshpfeiffer.com. And thank you, Josh. Welcome back to the show. It only took, what, 50 minutes to get you back on from our standpoint. Sorry, but you've been hanging on, waiting for the bus. And, you know, buses drive a little slower than what you're driving along California for a California day cruise, right? So welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you guys? It's good to be back. I've missed you guys.
Oh, we missed you. My gosh.
Yeah.
My gosh. I mean, I think we've hit on a lot of topics, and it's come full circle right to you and your doorstep. We've talked about food, veganism, music, travel.
Absolutely.
So before we go.
Yeah, I was enjoying. Yeah, I was enjoying listening to all of the guests hop on the bus and get to hear their stories and what they're up to. So, yeah, absolutely. It's right. I couldn't believe how many of the topics hit home. So it was very enjoyable. I've just been sipping some tequila here myself. So
I wasn't in tequila agony.
Are
you serious? You're drinking tequila on a champagne Sunday. That has not happened before.
This is a great one. I brought a bottle, so you guys can try it out too. So
what is it? What you got? What you got? Andrea needs some. She was having Mexican food.
Ah, that would go great. Yeah, that would go great with that. This is a single estate extra añejo from Ocho. And it's just wonderful to sip. So.
Oh, I love that. I love a good, nice sipping tequila añejo. This is good. So Priscilla doesn't need to bring you anything to drink, but what would you like to eat? Because she's ready. I know Tara's got your wife. I watch her on social media, and I'm like, she is cooking stuff. When I was vegan, I wish she was, like, there every day.
Yes. It's easy to be a vegan when you have Tara Pfeiffer cooking for you. So, I'm pretty lucky. I was thinking today, because I have a daughter in Belgium now as well.
Wow.
She made me some waffles before she left.
Cool.
Trying out her Belgian waffles. I would like a vegan Belgian waffle, some fresh fruit, and then one of our favorites that would be fun to have on the bus too is a potato and vegetable hash, which is great for breakfast. And then a couple of vegan Beyond Meat sausage links. So
You said sausage.
Oh, sparingly. I have to say that the vegan there's healthy vegan eating and unhealthy vegan eating.
Yes, and that's
some of
what
the
happened to
some
me.
Of the meats and all that. It's not the healthiest, but it is really nice for an indulgence if you're craving a burger or sausage links or something like that. So.
You said that very well, Josh. You said that very well. If he didn't say he was craving a sausage, that would have been, you know, but he did. But there is, like, when I was vegan, when I cooked whole foods, I did great. And it was creative and fun. And the day I started going, oh, I could just do this and replace it, that's when I didn't do good. And it's a really big deal. And Andrea, when you had your inn and I was there, you were able to keep things vegan. You worked vegan food all the time.
Yeah, and usually that. And I was thinking that, you know, my chicken mole that I want to eat, Priscilla, is from Oaxaca. I just want the mole part with rice. You know, that's what I'm into is that mole sauce. It's really
good.
Really
good. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, with rice. The chicken is beside the point.
Yeah,
it is.
When we lived in Mexico, we went to the pollo place. That's what we called it.
And gosh,
it was Ensenada area.
Yum.
We'd go downtown, and this place made mole, and I could never find it again. We kept going, and there was this one mole thing that they did, and I'm still
like,
I feel like
the mole and nothing,
we should make a documentary
else.
Chasing mole because it's like a one-off really good thing, and then everybody's different that makes it, and it was just this one day where really you just couldn't, you were floored of how
there was
good
something
it was,
in there,
you know?
I'm telling you, something in there that shouldn't have been.
Josh, what was it that led you to say, okay, we're going to be vegan? Like, what have you always been vegan? I mean, I've just noticed a lot on social media that you're, and I always think it's, you're connected to the earth too. You look at topsoil and what's going on there too. You got me watching documentaries and all kinds of things.
Well, yeah,
absolutely. Well, you know, for me, it started about 3.5 years ago. My wife and daughters had all already become vegan, and so that made it a lot easier. And for me, you know, with a lot of the different things like this, I have to have some staple foods or something that I know I'm going to enjoy. And for me, there were a couple of those that I stumbled onto, and I thought, you know, I kept trying. When we go out to eat, my wife would order something, and it'd be vegan, and I'd order regular stuff, and I'd try hers, and it tasted fantastic. And so I just started gravitating towards it. And then at one point I just decided, I am concerned about health, and I am concerned about the animals that I see, with certain aspects of the way we produce our food now and the soil so many different aspects all tied together. And so I made the jump and never looked back. I mean, it's not been hard. It's been been a very simple thing to do, and you know, I've noticed some wonderful health benefits from it, from being on it. But like we were saying, you know, even as a vegan, if you're eating too much, you know, oil, sugar, salt, then you can still wind up with some issues. So I try to stick as close to the whole foods as I can, at least for my staple meals, and then I just allow myself to indulge in some of the other stuff when I'm craving that. But yeah, it's been very easy. You know, when you become aware of some of those things, I think it leads you down a path where you're looking at things that are going to help our environment and our society. I wish more was being preached to the public about you know, the health benefits of cutting down inflammatory foods and that type of thing, especially during a pandemic where, you know, that can make a big difference. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not the end all, but if you're eating low inflammatory foods, then you're just going to be so far ahead. And so yeah, we've gotten into trying to help support, you know, anything with regenerating the soil, regenerative farming, you know, just some really wonderful things where it's good for everybody. Your food comes out better. The soil, you know, helps the planet, actually helps with global warming, helps with pollution, helps all that stuff. So it's just a win-win. And so I love anything that I can get involved in and help spread the word that is all about winning for everybody. So
I love that you said the word regenerative. We've done a couple interviews now, one on backyard gardening. Regenerative, I can say it. The first time was about Willamette, Oregon area, that they're doing regenerative tourism and travel. So, like, what are you bringing to the town that you're coming to? Don't just be a tourist and take. You've got to give something in. It goes even beyond volunteering. And so it's part of being – When you travel, it should be a transformative experience, something life-changing, something that makes you go, huh, and really take it in. Not just go to the museum and look at the pictures and go, oh, there's that picture. It's above that. And regenerative, and I still kind of, now I can't say it again. I took a sip of wine. It's out. But it's become the new word. It's beyond sustainable. And we're at this point that it has to be. And I think COVID got us all in this lockdown mode of really thinking about what is our place on earth and what are we doing and are we giving back in? And I think everybody on this show is absolutely 100% giving back in on so many different levels. And it is, you know, the planet is important. Andrea, you made a choice to be an organic farmer when your farm at that point wasn't being run organically, right? And you said, that's it, if I'm going to run
well,
a farm.
Well, it was ahead. Bare ground. I mean, it hadn't been farmed ever, as far as anybody remembers. In fact, it probably was farmed by Japanese before the Second World War. And it was taken from them. And it was bare. It was just not, you know, not farmed at all. It was, you know, just wildflowers. And
cool.
Which is good.
Yeah, cool.
And,
I like that.
And so we were on, I didn't even have to, you know, spend 3 years trying to get it to be organic. It was organic when I got it. It was unused.
Mm. Interesting.
Then,
but
you
made the choice to do it right.
Yeah.
Like at the beginning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm. And that's another story. Some of the land there was regained by the Japanese families that had to leave it, but that part wasn't.
Wow, I didn't know that.
It's interesting about organic farming because the side of it, like I was reading something a few months back about this report where they were talking about how the locusts and the insects that you don't want on your farm assimilate insecticides. A lot die, but the ones who don't procreate, so they get stronger and stronger, and they build an immunity to certain chemicals. So the chemical industry
is
going to make something stronger and stronger, which does when you spray the food, you're spraying the food. You know, even if you're peeling off the rind or whatever, you know, you are still spraying the food with poison. Sorry, people, but it's. And then you come along and we eat it, and then we wonder why
it's natural selection.
Why all these weird illnesses crop up in 2-year-olds and an increase in this illness and an increase in this disability. It's connected.
Yeah, and there's a lot of politicking in farms, and even the organic movements get appropriated by the government, who actually doesn't give a rat's ass at times. And I didn't know if I could say that, but I thought it's just
you can say whatever you want on our show. We don't care.
And you can shoot, so don't.
But it's really a huge problem. So
it is. It is a problem. Go ahead.
It is a problem.
I was being regulated by 3 different organic organizations when I left, and they were all expensive. And that you know, we don't make much as farmers, and it's tough to have the government messing us up as well.
That's the hard part, I think, because I think we get politically, centric. And then we don't realize that actually the whole damn system is kind of weird. I don't want to get into a political drama, but the system is weird.
Right.
And it is actually about us as individuals looking at what is the best for our health. Nikki, I wanted to go to you, being gluten-free and realizing, certain things don't work with me. I mean, do you ever look at that part too? Like and as a singer, whatever you're eating in your body, doesn't that affect your vocals too? I mean, I from my standpoint of my journey, it has. Like whatever you're putting in your body is going to affect that.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I actually one of the drawbacks of being or having a gluten intolerance or gluten allergy is you generally start to experience similar challenges with other foods as well. So I actually don't eat a lot of dairy either. So I tend to do more, almond milk, coconut milk, things like that. I cook with, almond flour, coconut flour. Honestly, if I didn't love a good bacon burger every now and then, I've tried going vegan and, I like my meat. So, but I do actually use vegan cheese. So I do vegan cheese and things like that. So I do a whole bunch of blendy type of foods. But yeah, it definitely does impact you depending upon, like I don't eat certain things if I'm going to go into the studio and stuff like that because certain foods coat your voice more so than others.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's interesting because here's the thing too. It's like we are such a meat-centric community that meat used to be this, we're so lucky to have meat today. If our family got it once a week,
once
we were
a week,
lucky.
Twice a week.
And America got into this. It's
every
like
day.
It's more than once a day.
Mm-hmm.
It's 3 times a day, and it's like my body, even though we lived in South Africa, is very meat centric. My body couldn't handle it when we got here, and that's when I had to go vegan and figure out what is going on. And I didn't understand the food. Like, I didn't understand why we had so many butters on a shelf, so many of this. Like, why is something wrong? And it turned out, yes, it's called chemicals. And, and this goes right into Lisa Snyderman with what you're doing. I mean, that is, for me, it's like I can't be vegan anymore because now I'm allergic to tree nuts. And so where am I going to – and I'm allergic to fish. I'm allergic to, So it's you can't be all that, and it's very hard, and I wonder about the environment
but you
being
know,
the cause.
Lisa, you weren't – it's funny. Your allergies come and go depending on the country you're in.
The clean place I'm in or where we get our food. So if it's a backyard, sometimes
because
I've been able to eat nuts.
You weren't allergic to nuts until you came back here.
Or until I got old.
You've been allergic to dairy here but not in other places. So I'm just saying.
But it could be age. So
I think it's chemical.
Lisa, do you think that that's part of it for everyone with all these immune issues and all of these things that it comes down to our environment? Because I know you've also worked in the environment.
Yeah, I think it's both. I think you need to look at the combination. You're talking to me, right, Snyderman?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
From my experience, you also have something that can happen, which is intolerance over time. Like I did, I was on receiving infusions for about five days each month at the hospital. And this was going on from 19 to 20. And I opted in March of 20, just at the start of the pandemic, that I didn't want the risk of being at the hospital 5 days each month.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to find a way to manage my condition in a way that didn't involve, you know, these harsh treatments that I didn't think, you know, I could incur the risk. Okay, so I went and I actually found a functional nutritionist. And what I did is I was looking at all kinds of things in my diet, and we did food testing. And that was one of the things for me that I learned, that my biggest offenders were actually avocado, soy, and like things like egg yolk and corn. So avocado, soy, and corn were my biggest like red marks. Very strange, because I'm a huge Mediterranean diet person. So I love things like coconut and avocado and olives and, you know, just like full Mediterranean diet. And so learning that these things, and I was using corn as a substitute for gluten, because I've been gluten intolerant for 13 years. So corn was one of those, was like, oh my God, I can't eat corn. So when I took those things out of my diet, I noticed differences, you know, and of course I also was using supplements, and, you know, I reduced sugars, like all of the, I even being refined sugar free, I thought like, oh, I don't do a lot of sugar. But when you look at your own diet and realize what you're actually eating, it's a whole nother thing. And so anyway, my whole point is like, yes, I believe it's environmental. There's no doubt in my mind, but I also think there's something to be said about, like, we just eat a lot of the same things, you know? And so I could eat, I was eating bananas all the time, thinking this is good for me. I was eating spinach and leafy greens, which of course everybody's like, you have to eat vegetables, right? But like, if you have sensitivity to sulfur and you don't know it, you keep doing the same thing, thinking it's good for your body, and yet your body is triggered and has things like inflammation in your skin or your muscles, and that can be a trigger. You know, so it's very difficult if you're not working with somebody to do it yourself.
I'm glad you said all this, because I think that's something we've forgotten in our healthcare, is that people are individuals, and that's the thing. I think that's what I'm going to bring it back to music and the arts. Because majority of you on the show are all about that. And the music and the arts, and Andrea will understand this too, gardening and being a farmer, that a farm and a garden has microclimates, and a pepper may grow here but not over here. And so every plant, every organism has its own thing, because it's an individual. Yet we are all community, right? We're all about a community. But music always reminds us of that too. And our healthcare system has seemed to forget that we are not, like, everybody must have vitamin C. Well, some people can't take it. Everybody needs to eat bananas. Right. Hell no, I won't. But I'm really sorry, Lisa, that you can't eat avocado. I've been doing double time for you, because that's, you know, it's a fruit and it's not a tree nut.
You know what?
It's a fruit.
I'm back to eating avocado now, just not like I don't mainline on it. Yeah.
I do as much as I can. If I could live in it and bathe in it, I would.
But the key is to eat a little of a lot of different things, not to binge on one thing.
Yeah, I know. And it's hard when you love something, or you find like, oh, these things I'm intolerant of. So then you're like, oh, I can eat all this. Okay, I'll keep eating that. You know?
But this is how our farming has gone too. The monocrop thing is what destroyed our topsoil, right, Josh? Isn't this part of it? Is that we have just grown everything.
I want to say to Josh I have to say this because the California Date song, you put me in a space of going back to the 60s, like walking down Sunset Strip as a kid and seeing the cars with the fins, the tail fins. I don't know if people will know what I'm talking about. The tail fins, like to me, if you didn't have a car with tail fins, you don't rate.
Well,
yeah,
that's
a great era.
Also tell Josh that it reminded me of Moondance. Like he has the next Van Morrison. You know what I mean? At that point, Moondance. Yeah.
Well, thank you. I do a cover of Moondance also. That's Van Morrison's great. Yeah.
Oh, he's one of the best. It's amazing, like hearing all of you with music and talking about. I mean, it's interesting how. I just want to say we put everybody on a show because of this is where everybody's schedule works, and it's just every show I go, oh my God, this is amazing how the conversation all connects. Mm. It's really fascinating to me, just how we all connect. Josh, we did get to meet you. I don't think you met our sock monkey Priscilla in person because. You were in a casino.
Oh, she was
and you
undercover.
Had all the ballroom dancers. We were in Black Oak Casino. Is it Black Oak?
Yes. Yes. You guys were
Tuolumne County.
We're doing something over in Yosemite, right?
And
then
you're
segued over to catch.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. That was awesome.
And so now you're in Sacramento. You've been to Reno, now Sacramento. So you're still in the vicinity. Like you're not leaving the region. But
right.
I wanted to ask you,
no.
What's happening next for Josh?
You know, I finished off my next single, and we were getting ready to shoot a music video for it about a year ago. Actually, we were all set up. We were actually going to shoot it in Hawaii with an activist. Speaker named Zach Bush. We were going to do something on regenerative farming. We were going to try to incorporate into unfortunately partly with the pandemic and then partly because some of these guys when you're in these different movements, which I didn't realize, you have to be really sensitive to all of the different people, Aborigine segment of the knowledge that's come from that community, and the people that have been doing this for a long time. So we ended up having to shelve the idea we were going to do, and we're kind of regrouping, looking at what we want to do because the song is called Dreamin'. And it's basically about connecting more, with our community, with each other, with our environment, which has been kind of my wake up call over the past couple years is really feeling the need, to cherish the relationships and to get more in tune with our natural environment instead of trying to sterilize everything, I think one of you guys mentioned you went out into the sun when the COVID thing happened, and that's precisely what I think, my wife and I got COVID about 5 months ago, something like that.
Oh,
I think
wow.
The Delta variant.
Oh.
And it was, I hadn't been sick in probably 3 years since I became vegan. So that was the first time I'd been sick in about 3 years. And, it was bad. I mean, it was like, a bad flu bug for me because it didn't hit me like some of the more vulnerable people. And, but even still, what I ended up finding is some of the best feeling I got was going outside and laying in the sun for a little while, breathing fresh air and getting that sunshine. And so, I think it's really sad that we as a society have kind of isolated ourselves and made so much of nature kind of an enemy, with antibacterial stuff, being out of the sun, isolated from people a lot more. So all of those different things, for me, that's what the song is about, is it's partly checking out of the world as we've let it become, with all the cell phones and the nonstop entertainment, and connecting more with nature and each other. We're going to incorporate the you know, regenerative farming or regenerative soil into it if we could, but I don't know if that'll happen. So, but that's
you
got to
come back on
that's
the show
plan.
With that when that happens. When you're ready for that, because you do your videos are amazing with what you do video wise.
Well,
thank you.
You know, if the go-to place, at least for me personally, if something's upsetting me or I don't feel right, I got to go outside.
That's so good.
In the garden, or in nature, in a wilderness place. And I love it when animals come and gather, because they do. Hummingbirds always come and say, what's up?
Yes.
You know, and butterflies. If you just sit there, little worms and caterpillars, they all just doing their thing. And they're like, hey, what's up? You know? And so if you don't spend your outdoor time, I think it's easier to get sick.
I would agree.
We got to move on. We've got some Hollywood history. We've got Hollywood history to play. I'm just looking at the clock, and I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah, I know.
We're all cozy. I do want to say, Salt in My Soul, everyone, this documentary is coming out, and it talks about being a lady with cystic fibrosis, and she wrote in her diary, the documentary is incredible. We're having an interview airing in the next couple, in about a week, just looking at the timing. And she... as a young girl, went and started swimming in the ocean, and it helped her move the mucus out of her lungs. She has cystic fibrosis. And we all think cystic fibrosis, it's one of those ISSs, Lisa, you know about those. And she went through this from a very 3 years old, being told she's going to die. And she lived and almost lived longer than she thought. But an incredible documentary talking about getting out in nature, too, being active. Your body moves when you can move, if you can. Everyone's different. Everyone has a different story in place. But being outside and breathing some fresh air, that is something we all think and take as a right, but we've screwed it up a bit, so we need to clean our air. But Steve Schneikert, we've been talking about vegetables. Andrea grew some... she could eat Andrea's tomatoes. Andrea, you know I don't eat tomatoes, right? And I could eat them with you. She would just tomatoes with
sweet
mozzarella, and I could eat tomatoes at Andrea's. Ask me anywhere else.
You know, that's
much
interesting. Most of them were heirloom varieties, and I just wonder if that wasn't something. You know, we don't have real special magic, but we grew heirloom tomatoes, which meant that they hadn't been screwed around with genetically.
Well, that would be the magic.
Speaking
right
about the screwing around, take a listen to Steve Schneikert's Hollywood History. When we come back, everyone, we're going to do our champagne toast and play some music, because this is not what happened on Andrea's farm. Trust me. Take a listen. This is not what happened, but it is fun. And Steve, you said some magic words in there. I'm just saying. Here it is.
Raindrops on roses and moist dew on tulips, blossoms of colors that bloom up above you, silver white winters that melt into spring. Horror and plants are my favorite things. You say potato, I say potato, you say tomato, I say tomato, potato, potato, tomato, tomato. Lives are shattered. The nation is in chaos. Death and destruction sweeps the country. Attack of killer tomatoes. This is the incredible story of the world's ultimate disaster. Vicious man-eating tomatoes grow to monstrous proportions. Faced with this unprecedented menace, the president calls upon Mason Dixon, special agent. Join Mason Dixon in a race against time as he battles to save the world from the threat of nature's perfect eating machine, the next killer tomato. Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. You've never seen anything like it. The Day of the Triffids is a 1962 British film directed by Steve Seekley and with Howard Keel as the central character, Bill Mason. Triffids are tall plants capable of aggressive and seemingly intelligent behavior. They're able to move about by walking on their roots, appear to communicate with each other, and possess a deadly whip-like poisonous stinger that enables them to kill their victims and feed on their rotting carcasses. Their appearance is vaguely similar to gigantic asparagus shoots topped with a flower-like head that somewhat resemble a venomous Joachim orchid and houses their deadly stinger. Success is swell and success is sweet, but every height has a drop. The less achievement, the less defeat. Beware of the animal-shaped hedges, especially in winter. The Shining is a 1980 psychological horror film produced and directed by Stanley Kubrick and based on Stephen King's novel of the same name. In the film, Jack Torrance, a writer and a recovering alcoholic, takes a job as an off-season caretaker at the isolated Overlook Hotel. His young son possesses psychic abilities and is able to see things from the past and future, such as ghosts who inhabit the hotel. Red rum! Red rum! Sometime after settling in, the family is trapped in the hotel by a snowstorm, and Jack gradually becomes influenced by a supernatural presence, descends into madness, and ultimately attempts to murder his wife and son. Here's Johnny. Honey, I'm home. Feed me. It started as a 1960 Roger Corman horror comedy filmed in 2 days. It then inspired a lavish 1982 Broadway musical. Finally, in 1986, Little Shop of Horrors graduated into a multi-million dollar all-star film musical. Rick Moranis plays nebbishly shy Seymour Crowborn, who works in a rundown flower shop on Skid Row. Seymour seeks a way of bringing the shop and himself fame and fortune. He purchases a strange plant that craves blood and flesh. The lighthearted tone of the film darkens as Audrey II grows into a monstrosity. Bum 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 bum. Bum 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 bum. Mr. Sandman. Yes, bring me a dream, bum 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 bum, make her the cutest that I've ever seen, bum 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 bum. Invasion of the Body Snatchers is a quintessential black and white B picture. It was executed and packed with action by director Don Siegel, plus a scary musical score from Carmen Dragon. The subtle, low-budget film is very effective in eliciting horror with a slow-building tension, even though there are no monsters. Just indestructible plant-like pods. On a lighter tone, and if you are interested in the culture and beauty of plants and flowers, feel free to check out these following films. Being There, Edward Scissorhands, Life with Father, The Secret Garden, Enchanted April, My House in Umbria, Howard's End, and the Harry Potter films. I am Steve Schneikert, and this is Hollywood History as I recall it.
favorite again. We had to play the plant
best.
Horror films because, you know, there's tomatoes and triffids, all kinds of good stuff. Steve, we love it. I love that. That's one of my favorites.
Oh, my God. It was so dramatic. That was one of my first ones.
I love it.
That's when I was
Josh...
trying to put all the music and all that stuff into them. Wow.
Yeah, but it was awesome.
It
was
awesome.
Fun.
Josh, would you eat a 50-foot tomato? I just want to know.
I think so.
Yeah. You'd go after it. So let's talk about... All right, champagne toast time, and we've got music to play, and I know everyone's time is short, too, so I'm going to start with you, Steve Schneikert, Hollywood History Man. What are you toasting to today?
I'm toasting to you, Nancy and Priscilla, as always, especially for your 25 and 15 years. Also, I'm going to give a special toast to my sister-in-law, Margot. Today is her 76th birthday.
Awesome. Oh, well, cheers. Cheers. Thank you,
cheers.
Steve.
I toast to her.
Cheers to Margo.
Cheers.
Cool.
And
yes.
Cheers to Bella, your sweet pup, can I just say. We all
Yeah, she's looking at me right now, too.
Oh, no,
Bella's
she wants
so
a treat.
Steve has the sweetest pit bull on the planet. He does. And listen, we're going to be taking care of some more just around the corner, and Bella may have to have a call with the other dogs. I'm just saying, it's going to happen. But right now, we've got to give a shout-out to Gotham and Joker, who are behaving... And quite
Florida.
Pissed that there's snow invaded. Gotham and Joker are sweet cats. They want outside. They want their sunshine, and they're mad about snow. So they don't have a champagne toast right now.
But she's biting my feet.
Yeah. That's a normal thing. So that's cool. So, Lisa, let's go to you. What is your champagne toast?
Well, I definitely echo toasting you and Nancy. Just wonderful.
Thank you.
I can't believe how many years. And I think for me, I think I was on your show also around the same time as Nikki Chris. That's what I'm remembering.
I think you guys know each other, right, on social?
We know
and
each other, yes.
We do, yeah.
Cool.
And we just were connecting offline, to be honest. It was kind of fun. I will toast Nikki too. Excellent. But I'm toasting my husband today mostly because I think about how much in the last several years in particular, as I've been homebound, he has been, you know, my rock and the one who's venturing out into the world every day to either, you know, go to work or just deal with everything, deal with the shopping and the providing and all that. And I just want to acknowledge that and not take that for granted. So today I want to toast Dave.
Awesome.
I love that. Toast to Dave because it's not easy because it's still weird out there, man. It's weird. The planet is weird. I mean, I went grocery shopping, you know, I've done that where the things are, you know, the shelves are blank, and you go, okay, we're going to Armageddon again, you know? Like, the shelves are blank. They're empty. You know, somebody hit the delete button on the shelves, and it's like, is it the toilet paper this time? Is it the pasta? What is it? And we keep going through this, depending on – I mean, we travel all over, and we see it, the weirdness. It's weird. It's weird.
Hey, let me ask this. Do people actually wear masks for the most part when you're out, or do you find more people not?
It depends on where we are. It depends on where we are, and we see it as a different, all ages are different, and it depends where we are. And now it's kind of, you know, Nancy and I just, everyone's got a different belief, but we try to, I mean, we travel, and we're in people's homes, pet sitting, and we travel, do our thing. So we try to do the best we can not to get it and transfer it, and we do good at it, and it's we've done more parks and stayed away from people over the last few years than we ever have, but we've done far more parks this year because of it. So it's, and we've hung out with more animals, so you know, it's a interesting trade-off, but it's cool. I want to go over to Andrea. What are you toasting?
Well, I'm toasting you and Nancy, too.
Thank you. Gosh, darn.
I think we, you know, your endless
I'm
creativity
toasting you.
That took you from the parks in Kenya to the magnificent parks in the U.S. and your promotion of them, and you're helping people understand them. That's wonderful. And, you know, your promotion of rural business people like me who are clueless, and
Oh, you weren't clueless.
I wasn't about the farm. I was about the B&B. You had to save me on that one. But you had to take on so much stuff, like the technology to deal with all this that you're doing. And I'm just constantly amazed. And this is a wonderful anniversary.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. And we toast you back
because you've got our back.
You had our, you know, we've been in your ear. We've seen. I mean, you just are one of our family, you know, and you take our calls in the middle of nowhere, going, "There's this bird and it's got feathers," and you go, "Well, can you send me a picture?" I'll go, "Well, it's way off over there,"
and she's all like,
and then she's like, "Well, let me get the book out.
Where,
I love it."
What color are the feathers?
My favorite thing. No, Andrea goes, "My favorite words on the planet. Let me get the book out. I love it. It's something that is so." She gets the book out. Now, where was it? Now, exactly what does it look like? Did it do this? And I'll send her pictures, and she'll go, "Well, that's not that clear." Or it is, and that's really cute. Now, let's look at it. Now, was it a juvenile? And I'll go, "Yes, it probably was because we saw it." it's not an amateur.
it's been fun.
No, it has.
Anyway,
we'll see you soon.
You guys, I'm just a unique pair, let me tell you.
That's the way to put it. That's the way. Thank you.
Yeah, right.
Thank you. Okay. I love that. We're going to go over to Josh here, and we're going to play his. Oh, and Nikki, we got to play your song too. We got to do this a little backwards here, maybe. Let me go to Nikki first here. Nikki, Undone. We're going to play that because I think Josh has a thing about James Bond, and I kind of think your song Undone has a little bit of thing about,
cool.
You know. Am I on the wrong path here? Am
but
I on the...
No.
Okay.
You're okay.
So you got to stay and listen to this. Okay.
Who's the best James Bond? Who?
Well,
do you think?
I'm going to go... Oh, really? I go with Sean Connery.
Sean Connery.
And then I go with Daniel
Sean.
Craig, actually. I like the
No,
the guy
Sean
that
Connery.
Step.
Steve Schneiker.
Yeah,
he's a Hollywood historian.
Steve,
you got to do
never
it.
Seen
yes,
any
Sean Connery.
Daniel Craig Bond.
Sean Connery.
Oh.
Just
and then, like Josh said,
year.
Then to the other guy. You bet.
Daniel Craig, are you in that camp, too?
Mm-hmm. What about Roger Moore? Did Roger Moore do...
Yeah, he was fine.
Sean
Connery, the first one, he was something special. Actually, the first
was.
One was David Niven.
I wasn't familiar with him, but I do know that.
Yeah, it was like Casino Royale.
A lot of people don't know that George
Lazenby. Yeah.
Oh.
But then they went to Sean Connery, and that was it. That was
Bond.
Well,
he was best. That's
okay,
given.
Wait.
Yeah.
All right.
The
David
other ones
David.
Were fine. Pierce Brosnan was fine, too.
No.
Yeah, Pierce Brosnan was great.
No.
You didn't like Pierce?
No.
Oh, Pierce, he was, yeah.
He's all right.
He's fine. He's fine. I'll do what Steve does. Fine. I'll be nice. I want to play this. Everyone, here is Nikki Chris, Undone, and then we're going to go get her champagne toast. We're going
to
get Josh's champagne toast. Here it is.
Anyway, Josh, I think you could be Bond yourself.
Oh,
there
you
go.
Steve. I appreciate
especially if you have
it,
a
champagne
toast.
We've reached the end, our love's about to fall. And I question if it was ever meant to be. And the answer's not what you expect from me. I'd rather let it burn. 'Cause that's just how the red slowly tears apart. Cause the world just never learns after all is said and done. The simple truth is that we come undone. My eyes are open now, I'm wide awake. Running from the past, now I can't escape. Let it all burn, walk away.
Again, Nikki, Chris, and Cheech.
That's fantastic.
Awesome.
Damn.
So cool.
Damn, Nikki, Chris, undone.
Brilliant.
I mean, it's like, that is so James Bond, and then it's all like, oh, yeah? Can I just say, oh, yeah?
It's like,
I'm
oh, yeah?
To another level.
I think we
sorry.
Should do a, we should do a radio play based on James Bond with all the people who are here today. And use that as the opening song.
Yes,
do a James
we'll do it.
Bond play.
Wouldn't we'll do a James
fun?
Bond.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
oh,
Josh, you got
so
James
cool.
Bond music in there. I mean, we may
yeah.
get sued by the actual franchise because it is one of the most incredible
no, but we
franchises.
Make it James Bond.
You know.
We'll make it, I'm thinking of a name.
Unstirred. We'll just call it Unstirred and Off the Rock. But
we'll,
I mean,
we'll
it
think
is,
of
it is. But I think you've got to look at the James Bond franchise. That is an incredible story of success and tribulation.
Absolutely.
And how, I mean, the whole thing of how that has kept going and going and going, and it's, you know, beautiful.
Yeah,
and now
yeah.
I do want to mark.
What did you, I'm curious what you guys thought of the this last one, not to get on too much of a tangent, but that was, did you, have you
have
seen the
seen
latest
it.
One?
Nope.
Okay. We better
Which
not talk
one?
About it then. There's too many, No Time to Die.
Too many spoilers.
Oh.
Yeah. I can't give you any spoilers on it. It's
okay. No,
we
call it, we can't
no,
talk about it.
We
don't know.
No, we call ours, It Is Time to Die.
No. No, we don't want to do that. That's horrible.
No. Time to
on
live.
On that note,
oh
Josh,
God,
I want
to
go to
I
you.
Have
what
to
is
tell
your,
you, Google's
what is your
answering me right now.
Oh, Google's answering
what is my
again.
Toast?
I know. No, Nikki actually does need to go, and then we're going to go to Josh and play his song, and then
okay. We're
going to close the show with Wanderlust from Lisa, because it's going to fit perfect. Mm. We got to get there. We got to make sure we keep on time.
That's a fabulous track of hers, so I'm glad that you're playing it. I'm glad that you're
playing
that
too.
One. My toast is obviously to the two of you, so thank you for having me on your show again. It's been a while, so I'm excited to be on. Actually, I would like to give a toast to all of the guests as well. I missed chatting with Steve, so that has been fantastic to hear his voice again. It's been a while. I know we've been on the show quite a bit. And toasting, let's see, everybody out there who's maybe stuck in the snow.
And the
That's
ice.
Sweet.
Yeah.
And the ice.
Yeah. There's always warm somewhere. I don't know. Sometimes you have to pee on yourself to stay warm if you're out in the bush.
Stop it. You have such a
it.
Way with words.
Well, I've never
We
done
have
that.
Both done
I wouldn't
that.
Know
oh
anything.
God, I love it.
It's like, no,
we
remember in Friends
when
she got the jellyfish bitter. So it's not just me.
No, we have both done that.
Okay.
And
so,
it just talks about climate.
Okay. I know. It's crazy. Josh, we want to play one of your latest songs that you were on the show a couple years back. Mm. So we are ready for your next single, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
We want to play this because
absolutely.
I think it's, you know
cool.
I want to play, you know, Life. It is a song that we've played so many times on the show because it's one of those brilliant – it should be in America's classic songbook, life. Mm-hmm. It really should be.
I agree. I agree.
Thank you so much.
It really is.
I really appreciate that.
One More Time to me is like the follow-up to life. Because I feel like the two should be together. One More Time is like, okay, I got it, and then I stumbled, and now I'm going off, and I'm doing things, and just that One More Time, it's a love song, and it's also just almost, you know, you've got to think about it, everybody in COVID and looking at things are changing. I mean,
it's
so much shift and change, and are we over jumping, or are we, you know, where are we, you know, individually and collectively?
Yes.
And I think this is a perfect song, so I want to play it. But first, give your toast and say who's on this and tell us about the song.
Well, absolutely toasting to you both. You know,
thank you.
A lot of different milestones for you. 25 years, I didn't realize was that far back for Nancy. And then, you know, I think 10 years was one of those. I think that's right around the time I first met you both.
Mm-hmm.
So cheers to you guys on an amazing milestone and so much wonderful accomplishments, spreading so much positivity. So to you guys, also to my family and friends, and really
and
to everybody out there's family and my big dog.
Big dog
Liam. To all the family and friends, cherishing the moments, cherishing each day, and hopefully reconnecting more. If anything through this pandemic, I would hope that we're learning that it's about the relationships. That's what matters. Each you know, the connectivity of all of us. So here's to all of that.
Here it is.
Hold your people close.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, here it is. One More Time from Josh, and it's a beautiful song. Take a listen.
It is.
One more time. one more time.
Leave it to Josh Pfeiffer to get to the nitty-gritty.
Nice.
Everyone, go to joshpfeiffer.com. That was one more time.
Nice.
And you're listening to the end of Big Land Radio's Champagne Sunday anniversary show. Nancy and I thank each one of our guests and raise
awesome.
A glass to you for being part of our journey, being part of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
We thank each person that is involved in our radio shows, magazines, being on the tour. Every audience member, we thank you, thank you, thank you. You're listening right now for the first time.
Lisa, how many
you.
Miles?
Okay, yes. So we're going to do our Champagne Sunday toast real quick, and then we're going to play Wanderlust by Lisa
mm-hmm.
Snyderman. So, Nancy, what is your toast? Real quick, and then I'll do
the
miles.
Everybody
so
on the
toast.
Show and everybody who has helped us. It's just like hundreds of people have helped us. Thank you.
Yeah,
from the
we
bottom
do too.
Of my heart.
Yeah,
because we couldn't
yeah,
do
I
it
do
alone.
Too. It really isn't. You can't do things alone.
No.
If you think you can
no,
do everything alone, don't.
No,
just
good for
don't
you.
Don't try. Just everybody. Everything's a team,
mm-hmm.
and I think everyone you've heard on the show today exemplifies that. My toast today, though, is to our car. Listen, there's a car shortage across America. There's stuff going on in the car industry. And let me tell you, our car, Mulva Cleopatra Doppelganger is her name. She has taken us across the country so many times, up, down, all around to Mexico. She hasn't
mm-hmm.
crossed over to Canada, but she will this year.
Yes.
So I got a Google thing this morning that last year, this is just on Google alone, not
yeah.
without us having GPS. And there's places you drive for miles on an interstate,
mm.
you do not need your GPS. Apparently, we drove through GPS 31,912 miles last year.
Wow.
We did 320 cities that we stopped in and 653 places. So I would like to bow down to Mulva Cleopatra Doppelganger. I do want to tell people that Toyotas are fantastic cars to drive. I've always
and
been a fan of them
Vata
since I sold them
tank.
When we got
every
here in this country.
Day.
I was a car salesperson, but not that great. But my first car sale was a RAV4, and that's what we have. And I said to Nancy, I have a feeling we need to do this, and here she is. And she has stuck mm-hmm. with us for so many years. And so many miles.
Ever.
And listen, whatever you want, Mulva, I will get it. You just got new shoes. You got new tires. Whatever you need, we have so many more miles
to go.
She wants
vodka in her tank.
She's getting there. We're over the 100,000 mark, way over, and it's going to get deeper. And so I just want to say sometimes you don't have to throw things away, but you've got to treasure what you have. And
yeah.
I will do whatever this car needs to keep going because she's the best companion. I talk to her when we drive. You know me, Nancy. We trade cars in. I cry
mm-hmm.
because I have relationships with these cars because we drive so much. You have
she's
one.
Into
and
the
they're
system.
Inanimate, but I have a thing. And I know it's weird. Guitarists have a thing with their guitars. But Mulva Cleopatra,
mm-hmm.
I thank you for being my road buddy to get us through the thick and thin. And she's been through every kind of storm you can imagine, and I know there's more. Hurricanes, we've been through tornado territory, we've been through
mm-hmm.
sandstorms, we have been through just about everything.
Hurricane.
We will keep going. So here
mm-hmm.
it is. We're going to play Wanderlust. Lisa
yeah.
Snyderman, this is your song, and this is
it
important.
Is.
This is a song that is because you can't go do what we're talking about with Mulva. Sorry, that is the
yeah.
Part. Yeah. So this is an important song. So everyone, I want to give everyone a shout out on the show. JoshPfeiffer.com. That's the website, right? Everyone should keep up with you there. Is that the best place?
That's a great place. Or on Instagram, I tune in there. Yeah, you know, I check in there pretty frequently. So that's
Instagram.
Also a good spot. Yeah.
Thank
cool.
you.
Yes,
thank you. How's
Josh
the tequila?
The
tequila
it
doing
is
good?
It's fantastic. Oh my goodness, it was so good. I'm gonna have to have a second glass. So,
are you ready to do a James Bond spoof? You want to do it?
Ah, boy. I don't know about spoofs. Maybe.
We'll do something.
Things like that. I hate spoofs of the stuff that I love a lot. For some reason, it's like sacred ground for me. So.
But
with you guys, I would make the exception. I'll be in if we do a spoof with you guys.
We'll
do something fun, an acknowledgement. We want to thank Andrea, also everyone. Nikki Chris is Nikki Chris. We got to go. We got to run. Nikki, N-I-C-K-I-K-R-I-S, Nikki Chris. Thank you for joining us, Nikki. Thank you. Lisa Snyderman.
Thank you.
Keep up with it. Lisa, go to thegrievingproject.com, A-O-D, Muse, A-O-E-D-E. No, and now I'm doing it wrong. A-O-E-D-E. I was right. A-D-Muse.com. Go there. I got that right now, right? And then Steve Schneiker, thank you. Keep up with him at blendradioandtv.com. Same thing for us, bigblendradio.com. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Nikki. Thank you, Andrea. Thank you all for joining us on today's show. It has been a pleasure. Here it is.
Awesome.
Wonderful.
This has been great. Thank you all. Josh,
here it is.
Lisa, everyone.
Thank you, guys.
Bye, Nikki. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye, everyone. Here it is. Wanderlust. And we're going to get there. We're getting there.
So giving a call later.
I know. It's coming. It's coming. It's good. Yeah. Here it is. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
What's this I'm feeling? Daydreaming of distant places, of unfamiliar faces. I can't sit still. I'm jumping planes and riding rails, reading first editions in sidewalk cafes. All this must be wanderlust, 'cause I just wanna be anywhere but where I belong. Where can I go to forget the mess I've made and just leave it behind, leave it behind? Why is my heart aching? Can't stop these cravings for adventures, for daily detours. I can't stay here. I'm rambling roads, trekking trails, exploring church arches and metal doorways.